Let me introduce our panel. At the far end is Scott Bonham. He's the Managing Director with Granite Global Ventures. Granite invests both in the U.S. but also in Asia, specifically China. He co-founded Granite Global. He's on the board of such companies as Aegea Technologies, Guava, and Hooray Solutions. And he's also formerly on the board of P-Cube, which was acquired by Cisco Systems. Next to him is Bill Gross, who is chairman and CEO of Idea Lab, which basically is involved in creating companies largely focused on internet and emerging areas. He's had a long career as an entrepreneur. He's worked for Lotus for a time, and just been around for a few years doing some things, so that's good. Next to him is Tim Draper, who is founder and managing director of Draper Fisher Jurvetson. Sits on the boards of a whole host of companies. I mentioned Skype is one of the notable ones. He's also involved with Social Tech, Glam, Mail Frontier. Past companies have included Parametric Technology and Tumbleweed Communications. And then next to me is Brad Feld, who is a managing director with Mobius Venture Capital. And he focuses on an array of areas, including infrastructure services, professional services, and enterprise applications. And Brad also, I guess, has become something of a legend in the venture industry for being one of the early bloggers within the area and being a real leader in that area. So the basic idea of this panel, I've kind of set the scene that we've seen the venture capital community has been, at least from the numbers and the like, looking like they are moving to do more late-stage types of opportunities. At the same time, though, there is a movement where venture capitalists are starting to get into some newer areas. We just had the presentation on China. There's been a lot of interest there. We've also been seeing more interest on the consumer side as well. So maybe I'd just like to just get started just by getting with our panelists, just to get their sort of general view on the venture capital community. And Tim, maybe I can just start with you. You've set up affiliates sort of around the world. You've been involved with getting into new areas. You were early with nanotech. You've been involved with energy. I've just shown you the slides that show the venture community is being more late stage. What is your take on the industry right now? Is it taking, I guess, enough, if risk is the right word, or is it being too conservative, or is it starting to make roads towards doing more?
Yeah, I think it's neither. I think we... I think Sarbanes-Oxley is a disaster, but it's forcing companies to just stick it out longer, at least in the U.S. I mean, the U.S. is the only country that doesn't realize that it's in competition for the great minds and the capital of the world, but they seem to be going after us. And what it does is it stretches the timeline to liquidity, and that's why all these acquisitions are happening, because the entrepreneurs are saying, gee, you know, I only signed up for 7 years here, and I'm ready to bail out. Or, alternatively, they might go public on the London Exchange or the Singapore Exchange to sort of avoid the Sarbanes-Oxley issues. I think that, in fact, you see that the IPO, you know, you could see the chart. The IPOs went from, you know, a significant healthy market to almost nothing the year Sarbanes-Oxley was passed. And I think that is really just, you know, indicative of what we have to do now. This is actually how NASDAQ got started. New York Stock Exchange got too exclusive. And then NASDAQ came along. So I think that you'll see some of these exchanges like the Singapore Exchange or the Hong Kong Exchange or the London Exchange come and take that whole market share.
What has it done for your own firm? How have you changed then?
Well, we're setting up a late stage fund because these entrepreneurs fight for a long time, and we want to make sure that they get all the way to the IPO. And so we need to buy out a piece of their interest and keep them going. So we have a growth fund. headed by Barry Schuller, who was the former president of AOL. And
how big is that going to be?
I think that is in the... I don't think I'm allowed to do that. That would be a bad thing, right? and then the rest of our funds around the world are focused on the early stage generally, and they will probably go, you know, have their companies go public on other exchanges.
Brad, how are you sort of looking at the world these days and looking at the venture community and what it's doing or not doing?
I think what Tim said is important in the sense that you have so many entrepreneurs who have now been through it a couple of times that recognize that a 5, 6, 7, 8 year time horizon is a long time. And especially as you start to see early stage companies being formed with entrepreneurs who have made some money and with some angel groups that have, you know, comprised of ex-entrepreneurs who have also made some money, you know, the low end of the vendor, the early stage part of the venture business, which Draper Fisher's played in, we've played in, and others have played in, it is starting to get filled up with more and more angel activity. And so you are seeing a natural drift either geographically or to later stage activity. What's really interesting is that, in my experience, I haven't seen early stage VCs be particularly good late stage VCs and vice versa. So it's not a natural phenomenon for somebody like me who likes to play at the very beginning to become a later stage VC. And you know, the thing that was so entertaining about watching what happened in 2000, 2001, and to the extent that any of it could be entertaining, was watching people that were later stage folks try to come earlier because you could get an exit in a year or two, not recognizing that, as you showed, so many of these companies that were formed in 99 and 2000 that survived the carnage are now becoming successful companies. So the guy that invested in 2000 thinking, you know, this is a two-year experience, well, it's a five-year experience, maybe it's a seven-year experience, is a new thing. So the phenomena of VCs shifting around in what their natural experience zones are is one that I think will cause a next order effect of pain. And the most obvious one for that is geography, right? I mean, Tim and his firm have understood and thought really hard about how to deal with geography and have approached it very systematically for a long time, back when people said, boy, Draper Fisher's ridiculous for doing all these affiliates everywhere. Now, guys, that you know, I struggle to get to California from Colorado, so this is a big geographic shift for me. I can't even imagine going to China, and you have people that, you know, previously had no interest in traveling at all, you know, now taking 12, 15-hour flights on a regular basis to try to figure out this new market. So I think you'll have the same kind of dynamic where people are chasing something that's unnatural for them rather than really focusing their energy on what's a natural act.
Are you saying, and I think Tim was sort of saying this too, that it just doesn't make sense anymore for a traditional venture capital firm to do early stage investing?
No, I think it makes a ton of sense, but you have to organize the firm, the size of the firm, the structure of the firm, and your focus on early stage activity. So if you raise an $800 million fund and you say we're going to do early stage deals, that's stupid because you can't deploy $800 million against just early stage deals. If you said we're going to raise an $800 million fund and we're going to have $200 million of it for early stage and $600 million of it for other stuff, and here are the three guys doing early stage, and here's everybody else doing other stuff, you can get there. If you say, well, Feld, you can do early stage and late stage, have fun. I'm going to screw up one of the two. And, you know, again, you're going to end up in a situation where the execution of the firm as a whole doesn't make sense.
Bill?
I would say, even with these, even with Sarbanes-Oxley, I think it's a great time to be an entrepreneur for the following reasons. And for early stage companies. In the 50-year history of venture capital, there have been a whole bunch of laws that were placed at various times that had terrible unintended consequences, sometimes ones that had good intended consequences. Capital gains reduction in certain years led to a 10-year rise in venture capital, then certain changes in laws for going public led to a decline, and so on, back and forth. And Sarbanes-Oxley, I think, is one of those things that is causing some serious unintended consequences. But even despite that, I think the purpose of venture capital is to look for big challenges, big problems in the world, and find technological solutions to them and organize an entrepreneurial effort to solve them. And venture capital does that better than just about any other organizational scheme on the planet. And today there are many, many problems that are big problems that can be solved. And I think a few other things are giving us a draft to make those companies more successful now, maybe, than even in the past. First, I think venture capital's gotten a lot smarter, having gone through the crash. I'm not sure if that will stick with us, but I think, at least right now, it has, and has backed better entrepreneurs, and is setting more realistic timeframes, and is giving the companies enough capital to get them really profitable, and expecting profitability, and not just eyeballs or other things, but actually expecting profitability. But two other things are really helping right now, I think. One is the amount of time that people spend connected, the amount of minutes of their waking day, and maybe even soon their sleeping day, but that people stay connected in some form, has grown so much over the last 10 years. You know, from the Netscape IPO to today, the amount of minutes that we spend connected has just grown so dramatically that that leads to really powerful opportunities for entrepreneurs to take advantage of that. That's in information technology and internet companies. And then for not just internet companies, the world is flat phenomenon that has happened in the last 10 years because of that connectedness means you can reach global markets so much more powerfully than you could before. You have so much more reach. You have competition with the whole globe. Like Tim was saying, our country isn't really being as smart as they should about how we are competing with everyone on the planet now. But we also have an opportunity to everybody on the planet. And that just means really, really big entrepreneurial opportunities abound right now. So I'm pretty excited about these times.